Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Thanks so much, Anton. There you go. What a blessing. All right, we're going to pray for some people in a bit, but I just want to share a few thoughts before we do that. Have to keep an eye on the time here. Anyways, great. Let's just pray as we get into the Word. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, and we thank you that you're already working in our hearts, and you're already establishing, breathing life, Lord, and establishing your will and purpose in us, and that we commit this time with to you, Lord. Speak to us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher, and that you ask that you would truly lead us into your truth this morning, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning you might have noticed that as we prayed for the moms, we laid hands on them. And thinking about it in preparation, I was trying to think, where did I see this for the first time, this thing of putting your hand on somebody when you pray for them? And I just realized it was something that I just learned, you know, and as I was born again, you just learned this how we do things. And then I remember later on, we did have a module about it at Bible school at one point, that was many years ago. But it's something that we do, something we see often, and we want to just actually lay a bit of a foundation, as Brian was saying, about why we do that and how do we pray for one another, and also in what ways we do this, and then we want to get practical around it as well and take some time to pray for different ministry teams and different people that are already ministering in different capacities in church. So we'll be doing that over the next couple of weeks on Sunday mornings primarily. So that's where we're coming from. So actually, I want to ask Brenda if you can just refresh that, because I just made one or two last minute page. Excuse the pun. All right. We see this laying on of hands all over Scripture, and I'm just going to read a few bits and pieces around where that comes from. What's the first one that you got there? Great. Thanks. All right, let's read Hebrews 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so here, the laying on of hands is referred to as a foundational principle. It's an elementary doctrine, and it's meant to be part of everyday Christian life. So it's not some believers. So I'm just going to run through a couple of concepts in the Old Testament where we see this. And besides for this concept of when you lay your hands on somebody in a negative way, right? We see that a lot in the Old Testament, unfortunately, in terms of to harm them, right? So they will say, do not lay your hands, etc. In other words, don't harm the person, okay? But it's besides that, we see in the Old Testament how, in the context of worship, it happens. The laying on of hands in worship, just some references there, Leviticus, in terms of laying on hands on the animal being sacrificed, imputing the sins of the nation onto that animal. So that was, and in worship, that would happen as well. And then if you go on, in terms of in a family, there were powerful examples of, in this case, it was Jacob or Israel speaking a blessing over Joseph and over his grandsons. And that's a powerful laying hands on one another and blessing one another, laying hands on one another to pray for one another in the context of your family. We often, you know, in the mornings we pray, mostly when things are going a bit chaotic, we pray in the car on the way to school. But just that habit of, you know, committing each other to the Lord, you know, whatever's going to happen that day, whether it's something that mom or dad are having to, you know, meeting or something, or the children going onto a camp or whatever, that we really come into the habit of laying hands on each other and blessing each other and praying for one another. And then we also see it in leadership. I just want to read this bit here, Numbers 27. And this is kind of more in line with what we see in the New Testament as well. I just want to read this part here from Numbers 27, verse 18. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight." There's a commissioning happening. "You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may abode at this, and before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At this, at his word, they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation, and he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. And this is the powerful example of what we see a lot of in the New Testament as well, of the commissioning that happens by the laying on of hands, commissioning for the purposes of God and the impartation. And it says, interesting, "Invest in him some of your authority." So there's a delegating of authority that happens in the laying on of hands for a specific job, for a specific role or specific place of service. So there's a bunch of different reasons why we lay on hands on people and pray for them. But this, in terms of what we see in the Old Testament. And then, quickly, before we get onto the main part, I'm rushing a little bit because we want to still pray for people. In the New Testament, Hebrews 6, we read that one. So let's go on. Elementary doctrine. Let's look at... So in terms of healing, we see that a lot in the New Testament, right? We see Jesus laying hands on people to heal them. And it's, some of those scriptures are really challenging because it says they're ministering in an area, in a town or something, and they said they brought all the sick, and Jesus laid hands on all of them and healed all of them. So it's always like, can it really be? You know, can it be all of them? But there's a bunch of times that the scripture talks about people bringing the sick to Jesus, Jesus laying hands on them, and then they would recover. And then we also see this thing of people bringing people and saying, "God, if you lay your hands on them, they will be healed." So there was an expectation that if Jesus would touch them, that they would be healed. But then we also see it's not just Jesus. We see the same grace on the lives of the apostles, right? We see them laying hands on the sick and people being restored to health. We see people being raised from the dead. We see miracles of healings. But then we also see an explicit instruction that if you are sick, that you should have the elders come and lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, lay hands on you and pray for you, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. All right, so there's an explicit instruction for elders to lay hands on the sick. But then there's also a commission for us to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So it's not just for one, or not for Jesus or an apostle or a disciple or an elder. It's for every believer. Amen? Every person. And I remember my first mission trip as a young believer to Malawi, being challenged with this. That you might have heard the story, but there was a word of knowledge that we should pray for the deaf. And I was a bit intimidated. I didn't know how to pray for a deaf person. I don't know whether there was a special prayer to pray for a deaf person. We all had to pray because there were quite a few people that came to the front. I think about 8 or 9 that were wanting to receive healing. Some deaf in one ear, some deaf in both ears. And I remember laying hands on the person, and I wasn't sure what to say. I didn't know how to express this prayer, and I was praying in the Spirit. And before I could even say something I felt was significant, the Lord had already healed the person. And every single one that came forward was completely healed. So in other words, there's something powerful that happens when we respond to God's, the instruction of Christ for us to lay hands on the sick. Whether we think we have the knowledge or not, the instruction is to lay hands on the sick. Are you with me? And there's something powerful that happens when we respond to that instruction. Okay, so that we see a lot of in the New Testament, a lot of laying on of hands for healing, right? And then what we also see a lot of is laying on of hands for an impartation of the Spirit of the gift of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and we see throughout the New Testament we see where people are being prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see that accompanied by laying on of hands. And then the impartation, of manifesting in the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, praying in tongues, etc. And let's read here in Acts chapter 19. We see this evidence in the life of Paul, right? God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. And we see this throughout the accounts of the ministry of Paul. Extraordinary miracles, signs, wonders, God performing and confirming the word as preached by Paul. And then, we look back in the life of Paul when he was still Saul, and we see something really powerful, the dynamic here. We see that when Jesus slapped Paul off his horse there on the way of Damascus and got him onto the straight and narrow, when Paul had that encounter with God, he was struck blind, right? And he was blind for some time, and then God sent this believer to him. His name in charge of a church. He was a believer that could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is a powerful example of God not being a respecter of persons. It's not this command for us to lay hands and to in obedience to the Holy Spirit is not limited to church leadership. Are you with me? So we see this amazing moment where Ananias goes, because now it's actually quite cool because the Lord speaks to Ananias, and up to that point, Paul, who was then Saul, was literally dragging believers to prison and executing them, persecuting believers all over the place. So he was feared among the Christian community, right? Now Ananias gets this word from the Lord, you must go and pray for this guy. He was like, no, Lord, this must be a mistake. This guy is bad news. I'm not going near this guy. And he was like, this can't be right. And the Lord says, no, I'm sure about this. And then he says to him there in verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And there's a hectic part here. It says, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. A normal believer like you and I, but responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is the moment which is such a significant moment in the life of Saul, who then became Paul, and the rest is history, as they say. But such a powerful example of that impartation of Spirit and power and blessing the gifts of the Spirit. So we see that all through the New Testament. And then specifically this morning, we want to look at, also an imparting blessing. I mentioned this also part of in the Old Testament. We see this in the life of Jesus here in Mark chapter 10. And they were bringing the children to him that he might touch them. Again, they were wanting Jesus to touch them. They were wanting him to lay hands on him. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Again, people coming with the expectation that Jesus would lay his hands on the children. And Jesus actually, in blessing him, he lays hands on them and blesses them. Such a great habit to get into in small group, in your home, wherever you go about your business. Somebody starting a new job. Somebody going, having whatever it is, taking a moment to consecrate that person, taking a moment to lay hands on them, to bless them, and to commission them into what God has called them to do. Amen. So again, this is not something that is foreign or strange. I truly believe this is something that God wants us to do as a part of our daily lives, as how we operate from day to day. And I remember when you're ministering to strangers, often this is challenging because people don't understand. Why do you want to touch me? So, when you're ministering to somebody that you don't know or somebody that's maybe not a believer, I ask them, do you mind? Do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder when I pray for you? Most people don't mind. Sometimes they do mind, but in any case. But there's such a powerful blessing in it. All right. Okay. In terms of commissioning for ministry, that's what we're going to start this morning. We're going to pray for the guys that are ministering at the shelter, the gate shelter, just in a moment. Just look at one or two of these scriptures. We get a grip on what it is that we are doing. Amen? And then in the next couple of weeks, we're going to expound a little bit on this. We're going to take one or two of these concepts and make sure we expound a bit on them. Okay. In Acts chapter 6, this was in the first church, in the first congregation, we see this dynamic. Yeah, let's quickly read here from verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution, the distribution of food and that type of thing. And when the twelve summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom you will appoint to this duty. So, can you see the requirements here? Somebody that was full of the Spirit, good reputation, of wisdom, full of wisdom, and these would be appointed for this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and the proselyte of Antioch. Those they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And these were now serving in the different bits that the apostles couldn't get around to. But I just want to point out here, this doesn't imply that they were less anointed or less important. They were doing a different role. Can you see this? And I just wanted to add this extra verse here because it's actually so powerful. Then Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. So these were believers that were laid, people were laid hands on them to serve, but they were not, less anointed or less. Can you see that he was doing great signs and wonders among the people? He was preaching the gospel. He was an evangelist as well. And then he also was the first martyr. He was stoned. He was martyred because of his preaching Jesus to the people. Amen. So this was a place where they commissioned this group of guys. They laid hands on them and said, this is the area you're going to serve in. And they trusted Lord for that impartation of authority, delegation of authority, but also an impartation from God for empowerment for the work that they were about to do. Does that make sense? And that's something we can really trust for. Okay. All right. And also in Acts chapter 13, and this is where Paul, or Saul at this point still was, and Barnabas was set aside for ministry. And I just want to point out one or two things here briefly. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, So this is important that this happens in a Holy Spirit-led way, right? Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And then they fasted and prayed as well, okay? Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. But can you see how the writer of Acts is saying the Holy Spirit said, and then the people prayed and fasted, and they laid hands, and then the Spirit sent them. So there's a working together here. This happens in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? There's a powerful place, and that's why I'm saying be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to what the Holy Spirit would direct us to do in our ministry to one another, in a small group context, but also in wherever God takes us, that we'll be open to what He would like us to minister to those around us. I mean, in response to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then finally, in 1 Timothy, we see this example of Paul reminding Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So there was a moment there in Timothy's life where the council of elders laid hands on him when he received a gift, when he was laid hands on in terms of being commissioned for the job. There was the office of, he was the leader of that church, right? And then later on we see Paul encouraging Timothy that in specifically when it comes to elders and appointing people into an office, that he should not be too hasty, right? So he says, don't be hasty in laying on of hands, nor take part in sins of others. Keep yourself pure. But that was specifically in the context of appointing an elder or appointing a leader. So that in that context makes sense. Don't be hasty. Don't just do it willy-nilly. Don't just rush into it. But in all the other examples, there's an encouragement. Yes, go lay hands on the sick. Go bless one another. Impart blessing. Pray for one another. So that in that side, there's not, you can be hasty. Okay, go for it. But on the other side, when you wanted to appoint an elder or you appointing someone in leadership, that is something you do, even as the guys demonstrated, with prayer and fasting under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Amen. So we're going to take the next couple of weeks and we're going to continue in this topic. So I've just kind of laid a very brief introduction for us. And I want us to take a moment now to pray for the team. They're not all here this morning, but we'll catch up with the other guys when they are here. Jeremy and Peter. And who else? John, you've been there before. You've helped us out. Anton, if you can come to the front, we're going to take a moment to pray for them. Fardy, yes, please come forward, guys. And then if there are any of the small group leaders or of the core group that are here that want to help us pray, you're welcome to come to the front. We're going to pray for them. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to commission them, amen, to do what God is calling. And just in a similar way that we use the oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the laying on of hands is a symbol of what's happening in the spiritual realm, right? There's a lot of these symbols that we use, and it symbolizes what's happening in the unseen spiritual realm, and that's why we do it physically as well. All right, awesome. Yeah, so we're really going to trust the Lord to bless you guys and the ministry that's happening there, the shelter, and this is a holy moment. We're going to commission the team and the other guys when we have a chance, and we're going to do this for the other ministry teams as well. But what we're doing is we're acknowledging what they're already doing. We're commissioning them in it. We're trusting the Lord for a blessing. And we're trusting the Lord to gift them and empower them in whichever way they need to be for what God has prepared for them there, for the good works that are prepared. Amen. Great. So we're just going to take a moment to pray for them. Now, just to mention also that Jeremy is taking the lead on the team at the moment, so we're going to pray for that as well. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for Jeremy and the team. We thank you, God, for your this in response to your Spirit, in response to instruction in Scripture, Lord, that we lay hands on them. Lord, that we trust that right now that you impart authority to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That we delegate authority to them to minister your word in power, Lord. We trust, Lord, for your anointing of your Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill them with your Spirit afresh right now in the name of Jesus. Fill them from top to toe, Lord. Fill them to overflowing with your Spirit, with your presence, Lord, with your power, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you'd fill them, Lord, that with the gifts of your Spirit, Lord. Fill them with wisdom and understanding in the name of Jesus. Fill them with power to do your will, God, in Jesus' name, with boldness, Lord, to move in response to your command, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you, as in Scripture, you confirm your word with signs and wonders. You perform your word. We don't have to confirm it. You will confirm it, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for a unity in the team, Lord. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray that you direct their steps, Lord. We thank you for a clear direction, Lord, that we would give us favor, Lord, on every level, Lord, where we minister, Lord. And we trust, Lord, that truly your kingdom would be established in the ministry there, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for what you've done already through these men that put up their hands to do what you tell them to do. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will fill them with wisdom, with love, that they can transfer the message of hope to people without hope. That you yourself will lead them. It's not their ministry, it's your ministry. It's for your glory. And that we pray that you will bless this.
Hallelujah. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your blessing on Jeremy as he leads the team, Lord. We thank you. We commission him, Lord, with your grace, with your strength, with your wisdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that he would experience an increase, Lord, anointing, that the team will experience, Lord, that as they move in obedience, Lord, that you will, that the signs and wonders will follow, Lord, and that you will perform your word. We thank you for many souls, Lord. We thank you for many hearts to turn. We pray for a multiplication, Lord, that even amongst the team, the group that is with us today, Lord, that you would raise up leaders, Lord, that you would raise up disciples, that you would raise up powerful men of God that would lead others to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we pray a blessing on each one from the shelter that is here this morning, Lord, that they would know your presence, Lord, that they would know your peace, Lord, that they would experience your blessing, Lord, that they would be your instruments, your hands and feet among those that need you so desperately, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your presence. Let your kingdom come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. We're going to close and we're going to spend some time just worshiping.
Good morning, guys. I just feel I need to share and share without getting emotional. I gave my life to the Lord in 1993, and I've been serving him ever since. And in our previous congregation in Nelspruit, I went on many missions in Swaziland and Mozambique. I did prison ministries for the congregation. And this is the first time anybody laid hands on me. So thank you. Thank you, Yoko.
Amen. is something that we really want to make part, of what we do. So I want to encourage you, even in small group, wherever you ministering, to do this often, and with reverence, with understanding of what's happening, but with in response to what the Holy Spirit is doing. I want to really invite you to join us there at the ministry that's happening. We've got an incredible group of guys that are here to this morning. They are passionate for God, and they are already taking leadership there. We're trusting for the group to grow. So we need your hands. So at the moment, it's only guys, but if you're keen to join, it's before church, right? So you can even come to this 9:30 service as well, even after joining us there. So if you're keen to join, speak to me or speak to Jeremy or one of the guys. It'd be great to have you there and to be part of what God is doing there. I want to close in prayer. If you need any prayer, or if you need prayer for healing, or if something's happening in your life and you want us to lay hands on you and trust God, then please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. All right. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for this time and your presence. We thank you for the special thing that you are doing among us, Lord. The many places where people are being ministered to, Lord, where people are receiving your word, where people are being disciples are being made, raised up, Lord. And we trust, Lord, that you would multiply what you are doing, that by your Spirit, by the Spirit in us and through us, that your glory that would truly take us from glory to glory, Lord, that you would go before us, that you would surround us, Lord, that you would inspire us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that even as we go from this place, that you go with us, the Spirit of God, you will send us into our workplace, send us to where we go, to be your hands and feet, Lord, to be your ministers, Lord, to minister your word, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to still take a moment to worship with us, you're welcome to do that. If you need prayer, please come to the front.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.